inbox. And as I'm waiting, I'm starting to think, okay, it's a brand new year. What are we going to do? What do I want to achieve? And I started to think about the few things that I also wanted to try and avoid this year. You've got those. I want to avoid that. As I was thinking of the year ahead, and as I was answering emails, the next thing I knew, the phone was ringing, and 45 minutes later, I finished with the conversation. It wasn't a telemarketer for once, so that was good news. I get back to emails, and suddenly I realize it's lunchtime. Do you feel this way? Like, sometimes I just feel like, even if it's not the first day, that I'm already busy and behind schedule. Not to mention, it's still January. There's none of those usual pressures you might find yourself experiencing like you do during the rest of the year. I mean, chances are in January you're not going to be late or running late to pick up the kids from school. Because, you know, you've had to work back a little bit because you're waiting on an important email. Just wait till February comes and all that sort of rushes to catch up with us, right? That's when the real rush begins. As I sat there, I started to feel a little bit of panic set in, yeah? I can just picture it now. I've got to go pick up one of the kids and I've got to take them from there straight to soccer practice because, you know, they want to do soccer this year. But as I'm going, they go, "Dad, I forgot my soccer boots." So now I'm going to have to rush home and get the soccer boots and then get the kid to soccer. And then I've got to take the other one to work. And while all that's happening, I've got to run back to the house and I've got to frantically, you know, get the washing done before Barbara gets home. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble a lot, okay? I admit it. I've got to take the dog to the vet for her monthly injections. You know, work, as I said, the other kids got to go to work. I spend the afternoon driving everyone around. I get home and I start to help the kids with homework, or at least I hope that they don't ask me for help. And whoops, I was meant to start cooking dinner by now, right? Oh, no. Oh, so dinner's late. So that means the kids are going to have showers late, which means the kids are going to go to bed late. And, you know, once they're in bed and everything's finally said and done, oh, still waiting on an email from that important person, right? So I check my emails, right? Not working, but I'm checking my emails still. And suddenly I enter this vortex and it's bedtime and I'm asleep and I didn't realize how quickly the time went. And you know what? I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to repeat that same process. Can any parent or person out there feel what I'm putting down this morning? Okay, I see a couple of hands. That's all I need to continue. Man, January is such a weird time, isn't it? It's a time where we feel like we relax a little bit more. School holidays mean less rush. But in a few weeks, man, we're going to be back in that deep grind. But before we fall into the madness of 2023, and as Barbie said, you know, 2023, it's still fresh in our mind. It still feels like a new beginning. Let me ask you a deep question. In 2022, did you give enough time to God? See, I realized something as I sat down for lunch on that Monday morning after feeling self-important, after answering all the emails and important phone calls. I had started my day and it was lunchtime and I hadn't even spent time in prayer or read my Bible. You get it, right? We've all been there, we've all done that, and we feel like we have to justify our busyness of life saying, you know, I've got to do what I've got to do. And that's an excuse to keep going down a path that we deliberately put ourselves in stress and anxiety and depression. It's an endless pursuit of being the perfect parent or the perfect employee or just plain perfect. We get so busy that we feel that we're defined by our very busyness. But being busy is not the problem. The problem here is when we get so busy that we do not make time for God. Look, the reality of life is we need to be busy, we need to work, we need to pay our bills, and we can be responsibly busy, and that can be quite healthy and satisfying. The problem is when we start to overdo it. We try and cram more and more into our time. We spread ourselves too thin. We don't get time to get the rest that we need. Our bodies can't feel refreshed. They don't feel recharged at the end of the day. And when we don't feel like that at the beginning of a day, should I say, we start to become a little more stressed and a little bit more uptight. And I can tell you something, if I don't get enough sleep, I get a little bit irritable. You start to feel a little bit worn out. Being under constant pressure puts us at risk of numerous health problems. Headaches, depression, sleep disorders, heart disease, and digestive issues. All comes down to us being overly busy. But more importantly, our relationships start to suffer when we overload our schedules. Usually, it feels like we have little time and energy left for the important things in our lives, our families and our friends. Friendships can be hard to build and maintain. There's those times for those quick catch-ups with others after church, or maybe, you know, you've got that late-night Facebook message group. But where is the time for uninterrupted, in-depth, sometimes heart-to-heart conversation? These are the kinds of interactions that people bond over, that joins people together. So we've got to be busy, but not too busy. We've got to try and remember we want to build healthy relationships with our family and friends. But when we're overly busy, the most sobering thing I think is, and it was highlighted in the fact lunchtime before I spent a moment in prayer, our relationship with God gets neglected. Being close to Him is the same thing that is necessary for our relationship with other people. We need to spend some focused time and attention. And we can accomplish this through, well, prayer, reading our Bible, studying the Word of God, and spending time in reflection. But the reality of the situation is this. God is often the first thing to go from our schedule when we feel super busy. Can I get an amen? Does anyone feel like that, or is it just me? Amen. But when we're not engaging in these essentials, we're not growing spiritually. Last year, we included in our service a time where we would ask you, where are you seeing Jesus at work in your life? It was purposeful, it was deliberate. It was an encouragement to slow down a little bit and see that God is at work in our lives. But the problem, once again, is we become so busy with our to-do list that we fail to see the miraculous things that happen every day. Again, I want to point out that being busy is not the bad thing. People have busy schedules because of jobs and activities. They have children that might be involved with things. You might have a family member who is unexpectedly sick and needs to go to hospital. We can become so busy with so many things. But when we get so busy that we neglect the Creator, we start to lose a little bit. Psalm 139:16 proclaims that he created our days before any of them came into existence. And I want you to understand that this is not an issue with being a good parent or being a good person, a great employee. God takes delight in those things. But more importantly, the thing that he desperately wants from us is that relationship. Relationship with him. We like to think that we are busy. We like to think that we are busy because we're doing the right thing. We like to think that we're busy because we're doing what God has called us to do. But Psalm 46:10 proclaims that God tells us, "Be still and know that I am God." I don't know. I think I might have a little bit of ADHD. Sitting still does not sound like a fun time for me. No one else feels that way. That's okay. I get distracted quite easily, John. Start having conversations with people in the middle of a sermon. You know how it is. Be still and know that I am God. My friends, are you so busy that you don't take the time to slow down and remember our relationship with God? See, he wants to know. He wants to know about the things that we struggle with and even our failures. He wants to celebrate our victories and help build us in our strengths and work on our weaknesses. He wants to know about our joys and our disappointments. But the problem is that we fail to remember him daily. I wonder if I treated Barbara like God, if our relationship would still be so good. Like, if I didn't speak to her for a couple of days, like, stop. See, she knows her place. No, bad joke. But sometimes it feels like that, right? We go days without speaking to God. See, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter when we spend time with God each day. It doesn't matter how much time we spend with God each day, but we are encouraged to walk with him daily. The Bible tells us to pray without stopping. He wants us to take time out of every minute something has to be scheduled into a day and talk to him. He wants us to remember that he is the one that we should seek to please. In doing so, our plans become more God-centered because we keep putting him first. God doesn't want us to be human busies. Sorry, that's a bad joke, isn't it? Human busies instead of human beings or human doings. He wants us to give him glory, to give him our time. We get so busy and we burden ourselves so much and we burden our mind. We fail to remember that we're told to hand our burden over to God. God has a different plan for each of our lives, but we should all be glad because today is the day that he has made. This is the day the Lord has made. See, you know Psalm 118, verse 24, off by heart. When we put God first in our schedule and make time for him, we start to look forward to that time. It's like meeting an old friend. Actually, I was speaking about meeting an old friend this week to Cheryl. This week I got a message from a guy I went to college with. He was the senior student, and I was on the student representative council. I just wanted to drop that out because it makes me feel like I'm important. I was the part-time live-off rep, and I tell you what, I was part-time and I lived off the representative council. Anytime I could get out of it, I was out. But we sat down and we had a conversation. Now, this guy and I at college, we weren't that close. We were friendly, but still, we're having this conversation. I thought, oh, it's going to last an hour. 3 hours later, the staff at Hunter Bell keep looking at their watches. You going to go anytime soon? It was good to catch up with him. See, if we make time in our schedule, if we make it God-centered, we will know that we can give our worries to God. See, sometimes I worry that we're so busy that we can't give God our burdens, that we go that God doesn't care about our worries. But Peter, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that that's not the case. Matthew 6:33 tells us that if we put God first, everything else seems to fall into place. So here it is. I want to challenge you this year to deliberately carve out some time with God. If you're a morning person, spend time with God in the morning. It works for people like Jim, right? You're a morning person, Jim. If you're going to be a morning person, please don't text me before 9 a.m. I'm not awake. But if you're a morning person, set your phone 5 minutes for God. Stop 5 minutes. I'm just going to give God my attention right now. If you're a nighttime person, because, you know, mornings are for the early bird. I'm a night owl. If you're a late night person, man, before you go to sleep, set aside 5 minutes and say, God, I want to spend that time with you. Set a little alarm in your phone every time it goes off. Hey, if you're not an early bird and if you're not a night owl, if you're a lunchtime, there needs to be something there, doesn't there? Early bird. A lunchtime eagle. That sounds quite majestic. If you're a lunchtime eagle, yeah, you got a lunch break. You set lunch break every day. Set your alarm 5 minutes with God before I eat. 5 minutes a day. Can you set aside, I feel like I'm doing one of those commercials for, you know, you see on television, for just $5 a day, you can sponsor a child. No. But 5 minutes a day. And here's what I think we'll start to find. We'll start to find that passages like Philippians 4, 6 to 8 will come true in our lives. A passage that says that peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our mind against the chaos of being worried against anything. During my holiday, I was fortunate enough to go to Sydney. Get to go to live, like, just spend a weekend in the centre of the city. You know, like, that's when you know you're two country when it's a holiday to go into the centre of the city. Anyway, as we're walking through, going past Town Hall, if you've been to Town Hall, you know there's always at least one or two guys with signs and megaphones, yeah? You need to repent! Yep, those guys. And he said something, and it got in my head. He said something from the book of James. From the book of James, and gives us proper perspectives. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. And that caught me. And I said, well, if that's the case, then I want to know God and I want to drink in life. So I needed to stop being so busy and give time for what really matters. And then one of my kids said something that broke my heart. He said, Dad, if I've ever got a problem, I'm going straight to Mum because I know you're too busy. And I sat there and went, oh, dude, you need to know that I'm never too busy for you. So we need to stop being too busy for what really matters. We need to stop over-scheduling and stop over-committing. Instead, we need to find peace that is found in Jesus Christ alone. There's a great saying, a saying that I love: achieve more by doing less. All right, Daryl, I hear ya. I'm too busy, I'm gonna create some time. All right, let me tell you a parable about creating time. It's about a woman, and she was a very busy woman. Her days were always filled. She worked Monday to Friday. On Monday nights, she had vocal training because she was leader of the worship band at the church that she attended to. On Tuesday night, she had an exercise class. On Wednesday night, well, that was Bible study class. Oh, like Bible study had to be there and available for that. Thursday night, she did the food shopping. On Friday nights was family time. So you think, oh, Saturday. Saturday's going to be the day of rest. But no. No, Saturday seemed busier than ever. She had kids' sport and craft group. She and her husband caught up on the washing. Saturday was just always filled with stuff. Sunday wasn't any better. If she wasn't leading worship, she was leading Sunday school. Not to mention she was on the deacon's board, what we might call a member of the AST. And one Sunday morning, a preacher got up and he preached this powerful sermon about being too busy. See what I'm doing there? Anyway, she looked at her life and went, "That's me. I'm too busy. Something needs to go." So she stopped and she took stock. See, on Sunday she went to two services. The church had two services. She said, "You know what? I'm going to create some time for myself there. So I'm going to cut down to one service. After all, the preacher, you know, like, he's a good guy, but he preaches the same sermon morning and evening. Like, you know, I feel like I'm too busy. So do I drop the morning service where I lead worship or help with the kids, or do I drop the evening service and just continue to do that worship? Well, look, I love singing and I want to devote more time to it. So you know what? I'm going to drop morning church and going to start going to the evening service. Okay, so what else do I have in my week? Okay, well, you know, Monday night, okay, so I've committed to the evening service to sing. So I need to keep my singing lessons. And, you know, Tuesday, I do need to exercise. You know, they say we need to get a certain amount of exercise every day. So, yeah, I'll keep that. Maybe I drop Bible study? Oh, I don't know. Okay, Thursday is grocery time. What the family needs to eat, and it works for us. You know, paydays that day and before all the bills. I'm going to keep that. Friday's family time. I can't give up on family time, can I? That would be selfish of me. No, I'll keep that. And suddenly she looks around. She says, well, the only thing that I can drop is I can drop Bible study and I can drop being part of the morning service. And you know what? I'm going to also pull out of the deacon's board. And all this sounded so good. But two problems became fast apparent. She had free time. But do you know what happens when you have free time? It's like moving into a bigger house. You get into it, it looks empty, but soon it gets filled. It's a vacuum, yeah? A vacuum wants to fill itself. And this is what happens. She had this Wednesday night to herself where she could slow down, and suddenly one of her work friends said, "Hey, every Wednesday night, as a bit of a team building thing, we're going to go to the pub for trivia." She says, "I'm in." Voom. Time just got filled again. She's just as busy as she was before. The second problem is the only way that she could make time and stop being busy was by spending less time with God. That wasn't the point. Here's the ironic thing. I didn't need to say all of this. I probably could have stated it in a paragraph, right? That would have saved some time. You would have been less busy. I could have summed it up in a paragraph that said, don't become so busy that God gets pushed out of your life. But there's a second side to that coin, and that is, don't get so busy that you stop noticing that God is at work. One of the goals of being a disciple is to be aware where God is working. To be aware of the blessing that he gives and to work within that space. And again, during holidays, as I sat and as I was experiencing the things around me, I started to go, I want to lock some of these things in my memory. You know, some of these feelings that I'm having right now. Like that feeling of going too fast down the toboggan hill in the metal toboggan and like flipping out and sliding along the metal and just scrape. Okay, maybe not that feeling, but you get what I'm saying. I want to take a moment and I want to replay my day. I want to see where the good things were and what my challenges were. So as I'm sitting down, as I'm writing this sermon, as I'm, you know, answering my emails, as I'm answering phone calls, as I'm feeling self-important, as I'm feeling busy, as I go, oh, wait a second, I need to pray. I come across this thing on my desk. It's called the Daily Prayer of Examine. Others call it the Ignatian Examine. Now, this is a contemplative prayer. It's a prayer where we ask God to use our memories. During the prayer, we reflect on the day that has just been or the day that just was. We focus on memories from the event of the day, and we ask God to allow us to recognize his divine presence. The Examine is a little bit like taking your day and imagining it's a DVD and you've put it in the player and you're playing through. And as you do that, you're asking God to show you things. Now, this prayer, it was to awaken in people, was to waken them up to the divine presence. It pushed through routine and ordinary moments to illustrate the subtle and surprising way God speaks. This prayer practice helps cultivate and refine discernment and awareness of God's presence. Now, it was called Ignatius Examine because Saint Ignatius encouraged his companions, the Jesuits, to do this prayer daily. Actually, he said, no, not daily, twice daily. They used to do it at lunchtime and they used to do it before going to sleep. And he used to talk about how there's five moments within this prayer. The first moment is taking time to acknowledge an awareness of God's presence. Right now, as you have heard, you are in God's presence. God is not ashamed of you. He's with you. The second movement is to review the day. To spend a moment thinking through your day in a position, a posture of gratitude. He said, within this, the third moment is to recognize a consolation and a desolation. Fancy words. Fancy words for basically a consolation, that moment that you experienced joy or felt fullness. You felt fully alive or felt at peace, where you felt happy and comfortable, where you felt whole. And connected with what people might call your best self. Could even be described as an experience which you felt close to God. And that desolation encourages us to think about that desolation, that moment when we felt drained of energy. We frustrated, irritated, angry, sad, frustrated, sorrowful. Alone, isolated, unaccepted, fragmented, and less than our best self. And Ignatius told us that we should take one of these moments and we should give thanks to God for it because of the way that it brings our life to fullness, and to take one of those negative moments and to pray through it and acknowledge that at times life is uncomfortable and sometimes it's a distressing experience. And these are both gifts from God. And then the fifth movement is acknowledging that you might not have seen God at work, you might not have felt Him at work, or you may have. Acknowledge that He has been with you in the good times and the bad. So I want to lead you this morning. I want to ask you to do a prayer of examine with me. So I want you to get comfortable and close your eyes. Begin a slow, deep breath. Concentrate on your breathing. And as you do that, I want you to be aware that you are in the presence of the Holy. Become aware of the presence of God. And I want you to take that DVD from yesterday. And I want you to put it in and press play. And as you press play, pray, I'm about to review my day. I ask for the light to know God and to know myself as God sees me. Imagine that you are watching your day unfold like you would a movie. You're there when you have breakfast, lunch and dinner, and the moments in between. And as you're watching, ask God to show you a moment, any moment, is this a moment where you found joy, or is this a moment that troubled you? If it's a moment of joy, spend time thanking God for it. A connection that you made, a feeling closeness to His presence. If it's a time that's troubled you, that's caused feelings, negative feelings to come, hand it over to God. Ask God to choose another moment in your day. Could be anything. Again, if it's a joyful moment that draws you closer to God, celebrate. If it's a moment that has troubled you, I encourage you to hand it to God. Take a moment and ask God, where did you challenge me yesterday? When did you speak? Maybe I didn't hear, or maybe I should have heard. But where were you? Where did you challenge me? Ask God to say, to show you the moments where you paused and thought about Him. and ask God to show you what he wants you to see. Ask God to open your eyes to the way that he is at work. And once again, start to concentrate on your breathing. And as you pray and as you come out, I ask, can you notice God's presence in any of this? Ask yourself, what am I incredibly grateful for in that past day? Ask yourself, if God showed you something, what is my response to the God of my life? Once again, concentrate on your breathing. Be aware of this room, that there are others in it. And when you are ready, open your eyes, giving thanks to God for what he has shown you and what he has encouraged you with. My challenge to you this week is to try and use the prayer of examine at some stage, and to come back next week and potentially share with us what your experience was. And I know for some of us it's an uncomfortable feeling, right? Feels like we're being too, dare I say it, spiritual. But I've often found when I take that time to slow down and go through these steps, that God speaks in powerful ways. So my friends, as we go this week, I want to challenge you, don't become so busy that God does not have a place in your life. Don't become so busy that you fail to notice that God is at work in our lives and in the lives of people around us. And I challenge you to focus on this prayer of examine as a way of understanding how God moves. Amen. Father God, we pray that you would continue to grow us and challenge us. Father, as we have thought through some of those things that we experienced yesterday, the good and the bad, Lord, we pray that you would be in it all. Father, I ask for you to give us wisdom and insight into the things that you want to lead us and teach us. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, I'd like to invite the worship team to come and lead us.